This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. Last time he was on my show was back in April 20th this year. We're talking no other than Q Biomed Inc. You can find him on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol QBIO. And with us today is the chairman and CEO of the company, Mr. Dennis Corin. Dennis, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Everett. Great to be back with you.
You know, it's been about 5 or 6 months. Since then, a lot is happening for your company. Q Biomed is in a very unique position now, having a full approved drug in the U.S. Remind our listeners, if you would, about the drug Strontium 89 and its status and rollout, both here in the U.S. and plans for international expansion.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been an interesting 5 or 6 months for the entire world, I think. So, it's good to be with you guys, and we hope everybody listening stays safe and sound. It's definitely been a really interesting few months, as I said. We're really thrilled to be commercializing and launching Strontium 89, not only in the U.S., but expanding into Europe as well. We think there's a huge unmet need for the treatment of this metastatic cancer that has spread to the bone and the pain that's associated with it. There are about 10 million people around the world that suffer from this really painful condition. And about 75% of them cite pain as their main symptom and their dominant reason for their, what we would say is decreased quality of life. And sadly, most of these patients are very heavily dosed with opiate medications, with fentanyl and morphine multiple times a day. You know, pain management is difficult, and usually a multidisciplinary approach to pain palliation is recommended in order to help these people, you know, live a better quality of life. And, you know, we like to say it's to add life to the years, not necessarily years to the life. So it's that quality of life that's so important. And it's been really personally very gratifying for me to have been a part of this program, have launched a drug. We've got it commercially produced. We've sent some doses out. And to actually see, you know, feedback coming from patients or their loved ones. In one case, a veteran's wife wrote to us and just expressed what a difference it had made to, you know, this gentleman's quality of life and his ability to finally get out of bed after months and months, if not years, lying in a bed and unable to move, just being racked in pain and be able to be up and about around the house and, you know, with his grandchildren and family, et cetera. Just hugely gratifying to know that because we've done something about this and got this drug through all the hurdles that we've got it through and all of the pain that we've gone through, has actually made a difference in somebody's life. So personally, professionally, that was a very, very gratifying moment, you know, probably around about the time we did our last interview. And we continue to grow the business, you know, throughout the U.S. and deliver product to patients. We're looking forward to getting full reimbursement from all of the healthcare insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera. As well, we're partially insured now, and we're looking for full reimbursement in the very near term. And then we'll be very actively marketing to all of the major hospital systems around the U.S. and hope to get this product into the hands of those patients between now and the end of the year as well. So we expect some really nice catalysts in terms of growth in the U.S. market coming up through the end of the year. Of course, COVID has slowed things down a little bit in terms of getting some of these clinics and hospitals online and the paperwork processed and all of the bits and pieces that have to be done to get Strontium onto formularies was a little bit hampered by COVID, and access to physicians and hospitals and administrators has been a bit of a challenge, but we're certainly getting there. And I think we're teeing up for a really successful year next year as this all rolls out throughout the U.S. And then, as you mentioned, we've got some international distribution that we've just announced as well with Caligor Coglin, where we can now deliver FDA-approved product to essentially any patient around the world through an unlicensed medicine program, which is really a bridge to our full market authorities in those jurisdictions, which we're working on in parallel. And as we look forward to catalysts between now, the end of the year, and into the first quarter, we expect to be able to announce full market authorities in several of those countries and jurisdictions around the world that would give us that full market authority to be able to sort of aggressively market the product to those patients around the world in those local jurisdictions and start delivering product and generating revenue on an international basis. So,
yeah, I was going to say, you put out a press release on September 22nd. Do you have any metrics back yet from the South Central America and the Asian market yet?
We don't. So we launched the product. We made it available through this unlicensed medicine program, and we did receive several indications of interest from distributors and hospital systems in, I think, 6 or 7 countries that got back to us fairly quickly. And we're in the process of, completing all of that due diligence, making sure they've got their licenses and everything in order to ship product to them, getting orders in place, assessing the patient populations that they can service. So it's been pretty well received, just finally having access back to the drug again. And then you've just got to jump through a couple of hoops.
Absolutely. In addition to the current market, Astronium, you said that you guys look for additional indications or expanded label use. Can you explain a little bit and give us an update on that?
Yeah, Strontium, the drug has been around for quite some time. And as a result, there's a tremendous amount of clinical evidence out there to show the benefit of the drug. And we've seen, I can talk about clinical trials and journals as anecdotal data showing an improvement in survival benefit when used in combination with other drugs, in some cases as many as between 9 and 11 months survival benefit when used in conjunction with other chemotherapeutic agents or other regimens. So we know that the drug works as a therapeutic agent. And in fact, if you look at our Strontium-89 website and go through some of the slides there, where there's a great set of slides showing a pre and post treatment set of PET scans. And we can only talk about our label right now, which is pain relief. And in those scans, it shows, fewer pain sites after treatment.
Right.
Really what fewer pain sites means is fewer tumors. So, we know that there's a tumoricidal effect. And so we're working on a clinical program now, sort of a post-marketing study. Some people call it a phase 4, to present the data to the FDA to get a label expansion from being a pain palliation drug in this cancer market to be an actual therapeutic drug for cancer patients. And in that case, the drug goes from being a $50 to $100 million a year pain drug to competing in that $1 billion cancer therapeutic market almost overnight.
Right.
Always been our longer term plan with this. We're engaged with some big institutions in the US to do those clinical programs. We hope to announce that in the early part of next year. And that'll be about a 2-year clinical trial. And we'll look for that label expansion during that time. So some short-term catalysts as well as sort of more medium and longer-term, I think extensive catalysts and expansive growth opportunities for us just with this drug on its own.
What I'm really excited about your company is that you guys have several other assets approaching milestones right now. Can you briefly tell us about those and of real interest right now, and especially maybe tell our listeners would be interested in your COVID infectious disease drug?
Yeah, so we have a platform technology that we license from Manon Research. So we partner with them, and the reason we call it a platform technology is because the platform that underlies this is applicable in several therapeutic drug opportunities for us. And the one that we're focused on right now is in the infectious disease arena. And essentially what this platform does is it shores up leaky vessels. So I'll just try and keep the language very simple, but essentially when you have leaky vessels in the body, you have all sorts of modalities that occur in the eye. We talked about in our interviews about glaucoma. In the eye, there's a tiny vessel that leaks and fluid builds up in the eye and causes pressure to build up. And then that destroys the optic nerve, causes glaucoma. In cystic kidney disease, you have something similar. In peripheral cardiovascular disease, you have something similar. And in the case of COVID, that leaky vessel is in the lung. And that causes fluid to build up in the lung. And that's where you saw most of the panic occur around the onset of COVID, is these are the sickest patients that end up needing ventilators and intubation in a hospital setting. They end up with acute respiratory distress syndrome as the fluid builds up in the lung. And those are sadly the patients that suffer the worst prognosis with COVID-19. So this is a therapeutic agent that works on shoring up the vascular integrity of the lung and hopefully reducing the inflammation and the leaking of those vessels in the lung, which would reduce their time in hospitals and give them better prognosis and ability to recover from serious COVID side effects. I think the key takeaway here for your listeners and, of course, for our investors is that this is not just a COVID therapeutic, which, of course, in itself is really important. There's talk of vaccines and testing. But therapeutics are absolutely necessary to treat the sickest of the sick patients, because that's, of course, where those death rates climb and we want to avoid that as much as we can, of course. So the therapeutic is hugely important. But what's really important about our therapeutic is it's not specific to the COVID virus or the, you know, the spike protein. It's applicable to any virus or pandemic that that breaks out that causes this kind of condition in the lung, whether it's SARS, MERS, H1N1, Spanish flu, China flu, whatever you want to call it, this particular therapeutic is applicable to that. So, of course, we're focusing on COVID right now, but a proof of concept in COVID makes this a stockpilable therapeutic for any future pandemic outbreak. And no matter how many times Bill Gates talked about this in his TED Talks, governments around the world, we are very acutely aware we're ineptly prepared for a pandemic outbreak, and there were no therapeutics available for patients when this pandemic did rear its ugly head. So we think this is a huge opportunity for us to get a proof of concept in COVID, obviously provide the therapeutic as a COVID treatment, but also to have this as a stockpilable drug for future pandemic outbreaks, whether it's a COVID virus, H1N1, even hemorrhagic fevers like Ebola and dengue and some of the others out there, to be able to stockpile this drug on a global basis, we think is a massive opportunity for us, and governments need to be paying attention to it. And I think that's why we've received support from the German government and the Canadian government in terms of funding and in-kind services to help us accelerate this this therapeutic for this type of infectious disease program.
Dennis, as you know it better than anybody out there, biotechs takes a long time to bring something to fruition, especially a commercial drug, to the market. That being said, do you have any kind of timeline when revenues will start hitting your balance sheet?
Yeah, we're starting to see a little bit of revenue starting right now as we roll out Strontium in the U.S. Once we get our full reimbursement, we think that number will start to grow. So hopefully over this last quarter in this year, those numbers should start to grow nicely. And as I said earlier on, I think we've sort of set the table for a really successful year in 2021 as full reimbursement comes on stream, all of the marketing and advertising and all of the programs we've been working on through this sort of commercial launch start to gain some traction in the marketplace, as well as those international jurisdictions coming on board. So I would look for a really great year from us in terms of revenue for 2021. The numbers are starting to roll in now a little bit. This is a whole new phase of development for us, and we're really excited to be, you know, revenue-producing biotech company. And then as some of these other milestones start to occur, I would expect the opportunity to partner some of our other assets, like the COVID therapeutic, you know, infectious disease, and different areas around the world. There might be licensing and partnership opportunities that would deliver revenue to the company. And we're also looking at some non-dilutive funding as well that would shore up the balance sheet in terms of cash to support some of these operations as these programs evolve and get towards the clinic.
As for my listeners, if you're looking for a great biotech company to get into on the ground floor, look no further. Take a look at Q Biomed. This is my personal opinion. I think it's grossly undervalued here at around $1.15 to $1.20. Great entry point. Dennis, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Hopefully you'll come back in 40 or 50 days. Give us an update of what's going on with your great company.
I appreciate it very much, Everett. Thanks so much.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.